They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Building for the future?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. How is America's construction industry recovering, if at all? Well, we'll know more this morning when the Commerce Department releases its July report. Overall, builders probably were spending a little less than in June, but there's expected to be a bright spot, residential construction. And here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman with more.
Construction spending is expected to be up for single-family homes. That's sparked in part by first-time homebuyers, attracted by low prices and government tax credits. For the past year, construction jobs have been vanishing and small contractors going out of business. Economist Brian Bethune of IHS Global Insight says that's starting to turn around.
I don't know that we're going to see much in terms of gains in construction jobs, but at a minimum, it's going to help keep some of those tradesmen a little busier than what they were.
Tradesmen like carpenter Jarrett Maxwell, he's trying to get his cabinet-making business off the ground in Oklahoma City.
Earlier this year, I was working sometimes as little as a few hours a week. Right now, I've got probably two or three jobs lined up, and it seems to be a little more steady.
Economist Brian Bethune says as the big home builders begin to rebound, there's likely to be more work for everyone. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Also today, automakers are going to release their August sales numbers. They are expected to rise over last year because of, wait for it, cash for clunkers. But the experts say we'll probably see sales slow down in the coming months. European markets are slowing down. In terms of stock prices, they're off between 1 and 2%. Despite the fact that Switzerland says it was barely in recession last quarter, its economy shrank less than expected. Asian markets were higher by less than 1% today. The Wall Street rally took a pause yesterday. The S&P 500 lost 0.8%, the NASDAQ about 1%, and the Dow slipped 48 points to 9,496. For August, the S&P 500 was up for the sixth month in a row. Its best run since 1938. Ah, August. Sadly, that brings us to September, which historically is a downer. There's 9/11, obviously. Lehman Brothers fell in September. The downturns leading to the crashes of 1929 and 87 both started in September. If you managed to make money in the stock market this month, you're one of the lucky few. Jill Barchet has more.
No one really knows why stocks fall in the autumn. But Mark Kamstra, he's a finance professor at York University, has a psychological theory. He says investors are suffering from seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. The days get shorter, about a quarter of us get depressed, and become risk-averse.
They just can't stomach it, can't handle the risk of taking a big drop. So people like that start exiting the market for risky assets in the fall, and it just keeps down the prices of risky assets.
And that includes stocks, Kamstra says. Some investors might be tempted to make the most of September by shorting stocks. But Kamstra says there's no guarantee the market will fall every September. In 2006 and 2007, it rose. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
The Wall Street Journal says Bank of America is trying to get out from underneath the government thumb. B of A took $45 billion in federal aid and may be looking to return about $20 billion. The government, meanwhile, is asking the bank to pay out a $500 million breakup fee. The fee would end an agreement in which the U.S. agreed to share losses on certain Bank of America assets.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
The lights are going out across Europe today. Some of the lights, anyway. As the European Union battles climate change, today is the last day stores can buy or import 100-watt incandescent bulbs. Our Europe correspondent, Stephen Beard, is on the line. Good morning, Stephen.
Hi, Bill.
How is this lights out working?
It's a ban on the manufacture and import of 100-watt incandescent bulbs in the EU. Consumers are expected instead to buy the new fluorescent low-energy bulbs, which it's reckoned use about 80% less electricity.
And how are European officials telling people this is going to help the environment?
Well, the European Commission says this will help the environment enormously because it will save something like 25 million tons of carbon emissions a year. And also, they say it could help economically because the energy savings, they reckon, could lead to financial savings throughout the community of something like $6 or $7 billion a year by 2012, when the ban is fully in effect.
So I'm curious, the U.S. is headed down this road. We're going to phase out the traditional bulbs starting in 2012. That's the plan. So how is this ban going down with Europeans?
Not entirely well. I mean, German and British consumers in particular have been somewhat resistant. There's been panic buying, in fact, and stockpiling of the old bulbs. These consumers say the new bulbs are too gloomy and they take too long to illuminate, and they're pretty expensive. I mean, they can cost $14 each compared with 70 cents for the old bulbs. Now, they last longer, and therefore supporters say they're more cost-effective. There are health concerns too, however. Anti-fluorescent bulbs say that the new bulbs can trigger migraine and even epileptic fits. And the new bulbs contain mercury, a poison. So if you break them, they have to be disposed of very carefully.
Stephen Beard is our Europe correspondent. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Bill.
And finally, we will be getting a batch of economic data later this morning. Pending home sales for July, a manufacturing index for August. Here's another economic indicator for you, the MUI, the Men's Underwear Index. The Washington Post quotes experts who say sales of men's underwear are a decent gauge of the economy because when money is short, men cut back on shorts. They stretch the time between buying new pairs. Well, the research firm Mintel says men's underwear sales will probably fall more than 2% this year, but it predicts next year sales will fall by only 0.5% as male finances begin to get a little bit less snug. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in, and have a good Tuesday.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.